Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning, I'm Bob Oakes. Even though Republican Charlie Baker won't reveal until the fall whether or not he'll run for a second term as governor, he appears to be in a strong position for 2018. His fundraising operation is gearing up, and recent polls show Baker remains the most popular governor in America. WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks has this look at what all this means for Democratic challengers.
It's still early, but it is looking pretty good for the governor. The latest of those recent polls by Morning Consult show Baker with a 75% approval rating in Massachusetts, numbers that most politicians can only dream of. So is it already a lost cause for Democrats?
It's a long shot for the Democrats.
Jeff Berry is a professor of political science at Tufts University. He says Baker's popularity reflects the fact that the overall economy in Massachusetts remains pretty strong. And Berry says this week's Boston Globe story that Baker's finance committee is aiming to raise a staggering $30 million to overwhelm his eventual challenger sends a powerful message to Democrats.
It's a warning shot over the bow. It's communicating to Democrats, don't bother, we got this, you're not going to be able to run a competitive race against us, and it's pretty intimidating.
Intimidating or not, there are three Democrats challenging Baker so far. They include Jay Gonzalez, the former finance chief for Governor Deval Patrick, Bob Massey, an environmental activist and entrepreneur, and Newton Mayor Seti Warren. All three make the case that Baker is beatable. For his part, Seti Warren is focusing on economic inequality, arguing that the state's economy is not working for everyone.
We have students, families with crushing student debt right now, not being able to afford to make ends meet in this economy. And I don't think Beacon Hill is hearing them.
So Warren wants to raise taxes on the wealthy and provide free public college and a single-payer health care system. And he faults Baker for resorting to the budget acts to fix the state's finances.
This governor, Governor Baker, cut opioid addiction funding for the Cape in this fiscal year. It's wrong. He's cut transportation funding. He's cut higher ed funding. These are the very areas we need to be investing in order to address economic inequality in our state.
The other two Democrats make similar cases against Baker. Jay Gonzalez proposes spending hundreds of millions of dollars to make child care and preschool more affordable. To pay for it, he supports the so-called millionaire's tax, which will be on the ballot next year.
This is something I think we desperately need. Our governor has said no new taxes. He's taken no position on this ballot question. This is another example of him sitting on the sidelines and not taking a position. We got to be honest about the fact that we need additional revenue for our transportation system, the T, which is a whole other area, for things like what I just talked about in terms of early education and care, which will make a huge difference for families in this state.
And then there's Bob Massey, who argues that Baker thinks too small at a time when the state should be making bold investments in renewable energy and transportation while addressing growing inequality across the state. Although Baker has criticized some of President Trump's policies, Massey faults him for not pushing back hard enough.
Governor Baker has taken down his periscope and gone underwater. He didn't show up at the Women's March. He didn't go to the airport at the time of the Muslim ban. He didn't go to the Copley Square defense of our constitutional rights. He didn't go to the Science March. He's doing whatever he can to keep his head low. And as a result, I think he's actually betraying our politics and our citizens.
Strong words that could play well with many Bay State Democrats, though recent polls show Baker is just as popular among Democrats as with Republicans. And Baker has been critical of the president on several issues. He urged Trump to stay in the Paris Climate Agreement. He criticized the president's travel ban and efforts to repeal Obamacare. But it's clear that Trump presents him with a difficult balancing act. Here's Baker last week when a reporter asked if he could grade the president.
I don't grade people. I haven't and never have. But I'm really worried and disappointed about some of the issues around health care.
While three Democrats have begun their campaigns against him, Baker won't announce whether he'll seek re-election until the fall. And he barely acknowledges his challengers, dismissing them with statements like this.
You know, I'm pretty focused on my day job and I plan to stay focused on it. And as I've said before, you know, people make decisions to run or not run in the best interest of whatever constituency they're choosing to represent.
Despite Baker's popularity and plans to amass a daunting campaign war chest, Democrats say he can be beaten.
Well, of course he's beatable.
Longtime Democratic strategist Steve Crawford says with the election more than a year and a half away, voters have yet to focus on Baker's record. But Democrats are already mobilizing in response to the Trump agenda, which Crawford says will mean a heavy Democratic turnout in 2018.
And the Baker team's strategy seems to be that with all this these Democratic voters, gee, you like Charlie, give him a pass. And that is not, in my judgment, a strategy for victory.
For evidence that Democrats can beat Baker, Crawford says look no further than the governor's failed effort to pass Question 2 in the last election. Question 2 would have raised the cap on charter schools, and Crawford points out it had big money and Charlie Baker behind it.
Question 2 was written, campaign was managed by Baker and the Baker team. They did the same thing on Question 2 that they're doing now. And we have lots of money that we're going to spend and we're going to win. They got crushed.
But supporters of Baker say that won't happen in 2018. Jennifer Nasser is the former chair of the state Republican Party. She says Baker can run on a record of good fiscal management, including holding the line on taxes, reforming the MBTA, and being a national leader in the fight against the opioid addiction crisis. And Nasser says Baker's ability to work across party lines is particularly attractive to many independents, those unenrolled voters who represent a majority of the state's electorate.
They believe in checks and balances. That's exactly how he's been governing. His cabinet appointments are a perfect example. He has some Democrats and he has some Republicans. He cuts across all party lines. He just wants the best for the Commonwealth.
Despite Baker's popularity and his financial clout, Steve Cazella, who heads Mass Inc. polling, says it's way too soon to count the Democrats out. He says two recent Massachusetts elections offer evidence of that.
Now, Deval Patrick's approval rating was down in the 30s, even the year that he won re-election. And you look back at Scott Brown, and his numbers looked a lot like Baker's. You know, numbers in the high 60s, low 70s, a year and a half before he lost re-election.
So Charlie Baker can feel pretty good about his popularity today, but that's no guarantee of victory in 2018. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Anthony Brooks.